All right, welcome back into Morning Drive. Hour number three on this Friday, ESPN 102.5. The Game, Nikhale Braden-Gall, Derek Mason, and Chase McCabe with you. It's 8 o'clock. It's time to talk some ball with our man, Teron Davenport, ESPN Titans reporter. TD, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, what's going on? Good morning.
You staying dry out there? This rain's a little ridiculous. Yeah. Where do we move to? Do we move to
Floaties?
Oh, my God.
You got your
God.
Floaties on?
It would be
TD?
Snow and ice in Philly right now. You guys need to stop complaining.
Yeah, shush.
Well, I'm not complaining. I just traded my sled in for a boat, man. That's cool. That's all I had to do.
I'd take the boat any day.
So, Teron, I was thinking about this the last couple of days. One of your colleagues at ESPN, Matt Bowen, was doing some film breakdown on Twitter, and he was highlighting TJ Hockenson, the tight end out of Iowa. Now, I was of the initial belief early on when I was reading mock drafts and many guys were mocking Hockenson to the Titans at 19 that it would be a mistake because of, you know, Delanie Walker and Jonnu Smith. But the more I watch of this guy, I'm not saying he's Rob Gronkowski, but he kind of resembles him. Would it be a drastic misstep if, in fact, they did go tight end at 19?
No, I don't think it would be a misstep. And when you look at Hockenson, the thing you got to remember is he's one of those move guys. Like, they use Noah Font in line, but they move him around and they run that corner route. They run the seam. So you could use him to attack deeper parts of the field, and it's almost like an extra receiver. You can never go wrong with having too many playmakers, right? So I think it wouldn't be a bad pick. You still have Jonnu Smith there who's returning from injury. It's kind of one of those things where it's kind of a luxury pick. It's a pick with the future in mind, but he'll come in and have an instant impact also. You could use him in 13 personnel, 12 personnel. You know, there's other things that you could do with him.
Hey, listen, we all realize Delanie's getting older, but wouldn't that be more of an indictment of what they think of Delanie Walker moving forward, right? Wouldn't that mean that they think he's got 1 year left, or that maybe he's not returning fully from injury? I mean, wouldn't that be – if they go with a tight end, because you just called it a luxury pick, I agree it would be a complete luxury, which is why I would not approve of the selection, even though he's a good player. You have a young tight end to take over. You've got Delanie Walker. You've got a bunch of guys that were developed last year. Why wouldn't it be an indictment of how they feel about their current roster?
Does this team really have a bunch of guys that were developed last year? Because if you look, and I actually, I'm glad you asked me about that, because I posted an article about Delanie's importance in the offense this morning on ESPN.com. And
well done.
Little plug. But if you look, though, the average that Delanie has had in receptions, touchdowns, and yards from 2013 to 2017 was basically the same as everybody on the tight end side of things accumulated this year. So I don't know that they're as secure as we're leading on to, but my thing is this: you have to look at the board, right? So you never reach. So let's say the fourth rated edge rusher is there and the top tight end is there. How does that look on your board horizontally, right? Is Hockenson in your top 15 and the edge rusher available in your top 30, then you probably want to go more towards Hockenson, because you have to look at the board horizontally. You never reach for need. You always want to match the best player available to a need. And I think in that case, it would be more of a Hockenson. But it's hard to say, just not knowing how the board would be, but who will be available to them. But I don't think it would be a bad pick. And it's not an indictment on Walker at all. I think it's just a matter of stockpiling talent.
I think they're going to have to eventually address that tight end position, because Delanie's getting older, coming off an injury. You know, Jonnu, he started to play well toward the end before the injury, but you don't know how he's going to come back. It took Jack Conklin basically, it's taken him a full year, maybe even longer, to come back off his injury. So maybe you have to address it. This is a good year if you do want to address the tight end position. You address it this year. I know next year there will be a few tight ends coming out. One notable tight end played with his dad, Bryson Hopkins. He's coming out next year. A really good pass-catching tight end. That could be an option in later rounds next year. But to me, I think this is the year where they have to get in place some people that's going to help Marcus. I think this needs to be heavy offense. Yeah, you draft your defensive guy in the first round if that's where you go. But I think past that, if you're still trying to figure out if Marcus is the guy, I think you got to surround him with players. You got to surround him with guys on the offensive line, more guys on the offensive line, even depth, and some really good playmakers to help him out.
Yeah, and if you look, a lot of those, because we know Marcus Mariota is what you would call a safe quarterback, right? He's very conservative with the football. And a lot of them, what do they like to do? They like to go to the tight end. So the more tight ends that you could have for a guy like Mariota, the better and the more options, you know, for him. So I think it would be a good pick. I mean, I'm not saying that that's the pick that they have to make. There's a lot of directions they could go, but I don't think they would go wrong by making that pick.
Teron Davenport, Titans reporter, ESPN, ESPN.com, joining us here on Morning Drive. One of the guys that we knew had a really good year this year was Jayon Brown. And now I'm starting to get the feeling that, you know, people are noticing him nationwide. And I saw him, he was on the Jim Rome radio show, of all places. I believe it was yesterday or 2 days ago. I'm sure you'll get to this later in the offseason or maybe in the summer, you know, guys that are going to take the next big step in 2019. Is Jayon Brown one of the guys that you think this upcoming season could be a guy that garners national attention?
Oh, yeah, I think he will. I mean, he's out in L.A. That's where he's from. He's working out there, and that's what he did last year. I think he's going to take another step, just looking at what he did against the Colts. I mean, you had the pick six, you had the forced fumble and the recovery. I mean, he's definitely elevated his game, and he plans to do it even further. And you look, most of the time when guys are in their third year, that's when they really start to make their mark. So I think he'll definitely continue to improve. And the good thing is he has a coach in Vrabel who rides him. He coaches him very hard, and DP's coaches him hard. So they're definitely going to push him. And you can't forget Coach, you know, Ty McKenzie, the LB coach. So they're in good shape there, and I think he's going to continue to elevate.
TD, what do you think you've learned the most since covering this team? You get here and you cover a team and you see a bunch of coaching transition in the offseason with the OC and you got all the Marcus stuff. What is it that you say since the day you got here and you know, what is it that you think you've learned the most about? Is it the coaching staff? Is it the players? Is it, you know, what is it that you think you've learned?
I think it's to expect the unexpected. You know, so many crazy things have happened with this team over the last year. But I think what I've learned the most is the coaching staff and Coach Vrabel and how much they're invested emotionally in the players and just how much they're hands-on and the relationship that the players and the coaches have with each other. I think that's a strong bond. And that's probably what I learned the most. You know, when you look at Coach Combs, Coach O'Hara, even Coach Arthur Smith, you know, these guys are coaches that – their players really love. So I think that's probably the biggest thing. There's a strong relationship, which is a good foundation for this team going forward.
Teron, final one for you. I know last Saturday Mike Vrabel was doing backflips into the cold water of the pool. First of all, your grade and your assessment on Vrabel's backflip, and secondly, what did you make of your colleague Buck Rising as a grown adult wearing floaties?
Well, I think the grade, I'll give him a B plus. I told him afterwards that he was very close to banging his head on the deck. He gets a good grade. As far as Buck, the floaties, man, that really, I cracked up about that, you know. But he did it, man. You know, I'll say that water was cold. You know, I jumped in and jumped out. I tell you, I was in and out faster than anybody else on that whole deck, but it was funny, man. You know, his whole outfit and
yeah, he's say he's an idiot, Teron. Just say he's an idiot.
Yeah, you can say it. He embraces.
He's
it.
An idiot. And yeah. by the way, good on.
I was taught to say nice things.
Man. Yeah, but not about him though. By the way, Teron, you get credit for being there and doing it yourself. So credit to you and all the other people that did it. So.
TD, good stuff, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Talk to you.
You got it. Teron Davenport, Titans reporter.
I think we need to have a rule on the show, a policy.
What's that?
That if you say something, like you know how we have a dollar jar, if you say talk about in a question, mm-hmm. we put a dollar in the jar. I think we need to say, like there needs to be a jar where if you say something nice about
Buck,
that human, mm-hmm. then you put a dollar in the jar.
Will we consider
you have
him
to
a
pay.
Human?
You have to pay the show to say something positive about Andrew Rising.
Speaking of the show, how about Jayon Brown getting a little run on Jim Rome?
Good for him.
Jayon Brown, welcome to the jungle. Cali kid making good. How are you?
Tennessee Titan.
Long Beach Pauly.
Exceptional phenomenal game versus Indy.
If there's a kid that gets more vacation than me, it's Jayon Brown. 6 months off. Envious. And I do get a lot.
There ain't no NFL player who gets 6 months off.
Nah, it ain't no time.
No,
off.
Good for dude, it's good for him, man.
Yeah,
his profile is he's such a good kid and he deserves to have a higher profile. He has played his way into the starting lineup. We all questioned at the beginning of the year. We said, hey, is he big enough to play on first and second downs? Can he handle that? Oh, yeah. The answer is yes. So what a steal by John Robinson in the draft. No question.
Jayon, what's it like to play football in a basketball powerhouse like UCLA? It's got to be weird. It's great.
Describe the colors at the Rose Bowl.
Is the grass not the greatest thing you've ever seen at the Rose Bowl?
This is terrible. Call me Chris Everett again.
The Rose Bowl or Augusta, your thoughts?
Titans O-line?
Mm-hmm. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue on with some Titans conversation because ESPN put together five things that will better every team in the AFC South. We'll see how realistic those are for the Titans and if we agree with them. It's coming up next here on Morning Drive.